A general motivation for studying the superstring in ADS 4 times CP3 background is connected with the new type of duality, so this ADS 4 CFT3 duality, which is conjectured to be between the superconformal Chern-Simons models coupled to matter in three dimensions, which are constructed by ABJM. So these are models with the gauge group SUN times SUN with different levels. And it's assumed that in the limit of there is a duality relation between the models are n equals 6 supersymmetric in three dimensions, and it's assumed that these models are dual to M theory on the manifold ADS 4 times S7 over ZK. And there is a parameter, a top parameter in these models, which is basically M over K, such that for the values of this parameter, that N squared is much larger than 5/2 of lambda, the effective description of the bulk theory can be performed in terms of type 2A string theory in ADS 4 times CP3. So to study this correspondence between these two sides of the duality from the string side, we need to know the explicit form of the type 2A super string action in the ADS 4 times CP3 background in the in superspace. And this triggered the construction of the sigma model actions for type 2A string theory in this background. And last summer, Arutyunov and Frolov and also Stefanski and Grassi with collaborators proposed a superstring sigma model, which is based on the supercoset space OSP6/4 over SU3 times U1 times the Lorentz group in four dimensions, which describes a sigma model string action in this supercoset space. So this supercoset space contains the bosonic subspace ADS 4 times CP3, and it has 24 fermionic directions. And it turns out that the motivation for our work with Gomis and Wolf and myself which was published in this preprint, so the motivation of our work was based on the observation that this superstring sigma model does not describe the full superstring in type 2A superspace corresponding to this background. And the reason is that this model can be considered as a gauge-fixed version of the complete Green-Schwarz string theory, but the gauge-fixing is not possible in all in all superspace, but only in some sector of the complete superspace. So what I'm going to talk about is how one can construct the full Green-Schwarz superstring action, basically the complete superspace of type 2A type, which contains the ADS4 times CP3 as the bosonic subspace, and which has 32 fermions, because we know that type 2A theory has initially the superspace with 32 fermions and not with 24 ones. So basically, let me start with showing where the problem arises with the sigma model actions. Since yesterday Luca has already introduced the string action in an arbitrary super background, I'll just quickly remind you how it looks like. So it's an integral over the two-dimensional world sheet of I'll use the Nambu-Gotha type action for the string. So this is the determinant of the induced metric plus the coupling of this superstring to the pullback of the Nebu-Schwarz two-form gauge potential, where T is the string tension, and Gij is the induced metric, which is constructed of the field binds or super field binds of type 2A supergravity in our case. So these guys depend on 10 axes and on 32 thetas, which collectively were called Zm. And so this is how the induced metric is constructed. And eta Ib is the Lorentz tensor here. And the EAI are the pullbacks on the wall volume of the target space field vector field binds, because the indices A run from 0 to 9 in our case. So these field binds, the pullbacks of the field binds look as follows. So this is the action, and this action possesses the kappa symmetry when the background satisfies the supergravity constraints, or in the case of 10-dimensional supergravity, the super background is on shell, and the kappa symmetry is a fermionic wall sheet kind of supersymmetry, which transforms the coordinates of the superstring in the following way. So under the kappa symmetry transformations, the super coordinates of the string transform as follows. If we project this variation of the coordinates along the vector components of the field bind, this gives zero. This is the basic and universal property of kappa symmetry. And if we introduce, in addition to the vector field binds, we introduce also the spinorial field binds, where alpha is the spinorial index, which runs from 1 to 32, then the variation of the kappa variation of the coordinates has the following form. So kappa is the parameter of the kappa symmetry transformations. So I should probably write it like this. And 1 plus gamma is the projector matrix, which has, in the case of the string theory, in type 2a, it has the following form. It is 1 over 2 the square root of the determinant of the induced metric times epsilon ij, which is the antisymmetric tensor on the Wald volume, or on the Wald line. And then it's EAI, EBJ, times the 10-dimensional gamma matrices gamma IB, AB times the matrix gamma 11. So this is how this matrix gamma looks like. And this matrix gamma has the property that gamma squared equals 1 and that its trace equals 0. And that means that among 32 parameters of kappa symmetry, only half are independent. So we have the 16 component gauge symmetry on the Wald volume of type 2a string. Now, this is in the general case. So now what we are interested in, we are interested in the explicit expressions for the superfield binds EA and E alpha in the case of ADS4 times CP3 superspace. And the difference of this case from the case of, say, type 2b superstring in ADS5 times S5 is that in the type 2b case, the supergravity backgrounds preserves 32 supersymmetries, so it's maximally supersymmetric, while in our case, the ADS4 times CP3 background preserves n equals 24 supersymmetries. So among the 32 fermionic coordinates theta alpha, there are 24, which I will call theta small, and which correspond to unbroken supersymmetries, and there are 8 of them, which I will call V, which correspond to broken supersymmetries. Now I should identify which ones are correspond to unbroken and which are broken. For this, I should introduce a projector, which separates these guys from theta. This projector looks as follows. So let me separate the broken ones. So I use a projector which I will call P8, such that when acting on theta gives me effectively 8 components. This P8 has the following form. It's 1/8 2 plus J, where J is the matrix which is constructed using the Keller form on CP3. So I introduce the Keller form on CP3, where indices A prime, B prime will correspond to CP3 indices in my notation. Then I multiply these by gamma A prime, B prime, and then I multiply it also by the matrix gamma 7, which is basically the direct the product of 6 gamma matrices along CP3. Sorry, gamma 1, gamma 6. So this is my matrix J, and one can show that G squared is equal to 4J plus 12, and that means that this projector effectively has only 8 non-zero components, and it singles out these guys. And the complementary projector then will single out the 24 fermionic variables which correspond to to unbroken supersymmetries. So it's 1 minus P8 acting on thetas, and this is equal to theta small in my case. Now, of course, the natural thing to do, and what people actually these people have done, they have tried to eliminate 8 fermionic variables which correspond to broken supersymmetries using kappa symmetry. So the assumption was that let's use 8 of 16 kappa symmetries and remove these guys. And once it's done, then one can use the sigma model action based on this super coset and consider string in this context. But the problem here is that this is only possible if this projector does not commute with the kappa symmetry projector. Because in the cases when gamma and J commute, it's not possible to eliminate all 8 variables here. One can eliminate only 4. Is it clear or no? Okay, so let us, what we would like to do, we would like to eliminate these guys. So let's consider the variation of d theta, again, the variation of with respect to kappa symmetry, which effectively looks as 1/2 1 plus gamma kappa here. And now I multiply by p8. Now, if P8 commutes with gamma, I can bring P8 here, and that means that this kappa have 8 independent components. This has 8 independent components, but this guy removes 4 of them. And that means that these 8 V cannot be eliminated completely. And this is what actually happens in the case when the classical string moves in ADS4 space only. So you can easily verify that when the pullbacks of the field binds take values only in ADS space, then these two projectors commute and you cannot eliminate all fermions. And that means that this sector of the theory is not reachable by the sigma model of that type. And actually, Artunov and Frolov saw this in their model because they saw that at some critical points, the kappa symmetry of their model, which had in general 8 independent components, get increased from 8 to 12. And this critical region is exactly the region where their consideration is not applicable.
Is it obvious? Why does one choose this P8 for the form of the projector? What if I try a general polynomial involving J and gamma 7? Is this the only solution for the projector?
I'm trying to ask, what determines this form of the projector, P8?
Oh,
in front of J and gamma 7. What if I try different polynomials?
Well, this is related to the fact that you would like to study the solution, ADS4 times CP3 solution of type 2A supergravity, and which how many supersymmetries are preserved. So for this reason, your solution is purely bosonic, so gravitino field is zero. And the supersymmetries which preserve this, which are preserved by this solution are the ones which for which the variation of the gravitino with respect to supersymmetry transformations remains zero. So, and if you compute the conditions under which this happens, you find that there appears this projector, which P8 and this guy, which separate 24 unbroken and 8 broken supersymmetries.
So J, for example, comes from the two-form flux, right?
Right. It's exactly comes from the two-form flux, which enters this generalized covariant derivative there. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So if one would introduce other Wolfram flux and so on that are modified.
Wolfram flux is also inside here. Well, maybe I should say this. So IDS 4 times CP3 is the solution of type 2A supergravity for which the two-form flux is proportional to J, well, let me write it like this. FA prime B prime on the CP3 is proportional to the Keller form. And before F4 flux is proportional to the volume of ADS, so it's basically epsilon. With some coefficients which one should adjust to have the solution. Basically, here is 2 and here is 6. And they both appear there and make, they ensure that there are 24 supersymmetries there. So the problem is to construct the superspace with complete superspace with 32 fermions, which would not depend on the kappa symmetry gauge fixing, and which would give us the complete answer for this model. And this was the purpose of our work. So let me try to flash how we can reach this goal. First of all, well, the idea is to make the dimensional reduction of to get this superspace. One can try to make the dimensional reduction from the supergravity solution in 11 dimensions, which is ADS 4 times S7, and which in superspace is described by the supercoset OSP 84 / SO7 times SO1,3. Well, yes, one more comment. Because of the fact that the sigma model, it was shown that the sigma model is classically integrable, like in the case of the ADS5 times S5 superstring, which Joe had shown with collaborators. Because of the same reasons of the Z4 grading and all that, it was shown that this model is classically integrable. But it does not mean that the full string is classically integrable. And it's still the remaining problem to show that the complete string action is classically integrable. And the reason is that the result in superspace which we have constructed, it's not a coset superspace. It's something like a twisted coset. I don't know how to call it. So the idea is to start with this supercoset, which contains ADS 4 times S7 as the subspace and has 32 fermions. And to make the dimensional reduction from 11 dimensions to 10 dimensions in a standard way and to get the 32-component superspace we are looking for. And the reason that it should be possible is the fact, actually, an old fact which was noticed in the paper in 84 by Nielsen and Pope, and independently by myself and Tkach and Volkov in 84, that all the solutions of type 2A supergravity, which correspond to the compactification of the theory on ADS 4 times something, can be lifted in 11 dimensions because the 11-dimensional solutions are Hopf vibrations of corresponding type to A solutions. And in our particular case, the relation between 11-dimensional and 10-dimensional solution is based on the fact that S7 is the Hopf vibration of CP3 over times S1. So locally, S7 is the direct product of these two spaces, but S1 fiber is non-trivially twisted in such a way that S7 becomes a non-trivial fiber bundle here. And the fact that the S7 has this structure is reflected in the possibility of writing down for example, the fieldbine of the S7, which I will call A hat prime, so M prime here, which is the 7x7 matrix. And the fieldbine on this S7 can be written as the fieldbine of the CP3 space, where YM prime are the CP3 indices. Then we have the one form field A, which is the Keller form potential for these Keller form J, basically. So dA, dA is equal to J, where J is probably, okay, let me write down this again like this, M prime, anti-symmetrized is equal to M prime, M prime. And here we have 1, and here we have 0. You see that in this form, the 7-sphere metric does not depend on the fiber coordinate. And this is important. And it's also important that here there is 0, so nothing. There is no term of the form A prime 7 here. And you see that this form of the fieldbine is nothing but the conventional form of the fieldbine which one uses by making the dimension, for making the dimensional reduction. So the idea is to try to use this fact and to write down the realization for the complete fieldbines of this complete supercoset in the same way. And the recipe to do this is the following one. So again, the fact that S7 is the Hopf vibration over CP3 can be represented as in the form of the coset space. So the idea is that S7 actually can be regarded as a coset space with the isometric group SU4 times the U1 group, which I call U12, divided by SU3 times U prime 1. This is how I define this supercoset. So here you can recognize the fact that if U prime and SU3 are the subgroups of SU4, then this is, if you forget about this factor, then this will be CP3. And then we multiply by U2, which basically is this multiplication here. And now I should only, and what I have here is that SU4 times U21 is a subgroup of SOA, of the complete isometric group of the S7 sphere. To see that this is indeed the case and that it reproduces this form of the fieldbine, let me just take the following coset representative of this 7 sphere. Let me write it as K7 times KY, where KY will be the supercoset, the coset space SU4 over SU2 times U11 here, and not U prime as I wrote there. So, times E to the ZT2, where T2 stands for the generator of this group. And now I compute the Cartan form, K to the minus 1, 7, DK7, which will be K to the minus 1 dk for the CP3. Since T2 commutes with SU4, there is no contribution of Z inside, plus dZ T2 here. And k to the minus 1 decay is the Cartan form corresponding to the CP3. Okay, so let me write it down more explicitly and expand this Cartan form in terms of the generators of the SU4. So what well I have here is the field binds times the generators along CP3 plus the connection along the generators of SU, sorry, there should be SU3, of course, not SU2. So there will be the connection along the generators of SU3 plus the connection along the generator T1 here, plus this piece. Is it clear how things go? So this is just nothing but the expansion of the Cartan form k to the minus dk in terms of the generators of SU4, which have 6 generators of translation along CP3, 8 generators SU3, and 1 generator U1 here. And you see that I have almost done here, because now I should re-identify my generator T1 here. So let me take instead of T1 and T2, let me take the combination T prime, which will be 1/2 T2 minus T1, and P7, and the generator P7 is 1/2 T1 plus T2.
Okay, what's T1 and T2 again?
T2 is the generator of U1, which commutes with SU4. They together are from the subgroup of SO8. And T1 is the generator of U1 subgroup of SU4 here. Okay? And now I just take the linear combination of these guys, nothing more. I just introduced the generators T prime and P7. And I should just rewrite this expression in a different way. So I write it in terms of T prime and P7. And what I get is DZ plus A times P7 plus DZ minus A times T prime. And you see that making this redefinition, I get the field bind part of this form, and the CP3 field bind has the right form, which appears here. And this is, what I get is exactly this form of the field bind. So this is what we have in the bosonic case. Now we would like to do the same thing for the superspace. So now the idea is to use the same prescription to lift first into 11 dimensions the supercoset space OSP64, that guy here. So let me call that the element K24, which depends on the coordinates on ADS, the coordinates of CP3 and 24 fermions. Let this K be the representative of the supercoset OSP64. I can.
Sorry, quick
yes.
So this U1 prime, then, from what you wrote, means diagonally embedded and Cartan of SU4 and.
Yes. Well, all yes. U2 and U1. It's the combination of these two. Yeah.
And this U1 side SU4. There it seemed unique, and here it seems totally the choice of U1.
Well, the choice depends on the normalization of the generators. The linear combination can have different coefficients for different normalization of the generators, of course. But okay, maybe.
We want to make a choice which preserves isometries of CP3. I presume maybe not.
Right, but the isometries of CP3 are always preserved because.
It depends on how you embed U1.
Well, here is U2. It always commutes with SU4.
Right, but down there is U1 prime.
U1 prime is inside. U1.
Was it linear oriented?
SU4. Has the subgroup which is SU3 times U1 1, and then I can always take the combination of U1 with U2 which commutes with SU3, and so the point is that now I would like to do the same thing, but with the super coset. This super coset I can take in any realization I want. For example, the exponential realization, like here, for example, I can realize it for the fermionic coordinates. It can be e to the theta q24, where q24 are the generators, the supersymmetry generators of the OSP64 group, and it does not matter which realization I take. I can take any convenient realization. And now I do the same thing. Now I would like to construct a coset in 11 dimensions, which will depend on these x, y, theta, and z by multiplying it with e to the zt2 again. And because of the same reasons, t2 commutes with all generators inside here, the structure of the Cartan forms will be the same as here, with the only difference that there will be also the fermionic super field binds, which will depend on x, y, and theta, which correspond to these 24 fermionic generators. This is the only difference. And of course, instead of y's, there should be x, y, and theta, of course, in all places. But it's again important that dz appears under the differential, and nothing depends on dz. And in this way, what we have done, actually, we have lifted this super coset space in 10 dimensions, but it's still 24 fermions and not 32. So the next step is to enlarge this with these 8 fermions which are missing still. And so now I construct the super coset, which will depend on x, y, z, theta, and v, and which is the coset representative, which is this one, times e to the z t2 times e to the v q8, where v are 8 fermionic coordinates which I add, and q8 are corresponding generators of this of the OSP84 algebra. So probably here I should make the remark how this q8 and q24 anti-commutes. Probably it may be useful. So in the case of the OSP6/4 supergroup, we have 24 supersymmetric generators whose anti-commutator produces the generators of the isometry group of ADS4 plus the isometry group SU4. And this guys, Q8 with Q8, their commutator produces again the generators of the isometric group of ADS4, which is SO2,3, plus the generator T2, which appears here. This is the U1 generator, and this is the subalgebra of OSP84, which is OSP2/4. So they formed two different subalgebras of OSP84. And now, to close these things into OSP84, I should consider what is the Q8 with Q24. This is closed on the generators which are in the coset. Of SO8 over SO6 times SO2. So these generators are not the ones which appear here and here, and altogether they form the SO8 algebra. So this is how it looks like. And now these expressions allow me to compute the Cartan form, K32. Okay, now this is enough to compute the Cartan form of this kind and express everything in terms of the generators along the CP3, ADS4, so the seventh component of seventh sphere, and to make the same linear combination as I did to get the final result. So probably, it's just a technical thing, so I will not expand this in terms of components of the generator, but just write the form of the superfield bind which we get upon computing these Cartan forms. So okay, so this is, I'm interested in 11-dimensional vector component of the superfield bind, which is EM hat A hat, where the indices M hat A hat run from 0 to 10 now. And so this matrix has the following form. So, well, this matrix depends on X's, Y's, thetas, and V. And it again does not depend on the fiber component along the seventh sphere, like in the bosonic case. But now the form of this matrix is as follows. There is the part which corresponds to this superfield binds along the ADS space, so the indices AM are those of the ADS. Then there is zero here, zero here. There is the dilaton field phi, which depends only on the broken fermions V here. Here there is the super analog of the connection on the CP3, which now depends on X's, Y's, thetas, and V's. And here we have the CP3 part, which is also a superfield. Here we have zero, but the somewhat subtle point is that here we have a non-zero contribution, E7A, which depends on these eight fermions. So you see that what happens is that there is a component along the ADS, which has also the component along the seventh sphere, which depends on the broken fermionic variables. If I put them to zero, then all these things disappear and I can make directly the dimensional reduction. Now I am not able to consider these guys as the superfield bionic in the type 2A space. I should make one more step. What I should do? I should do the Lorentz transformation, which would remove me this piece. So what I should do is I should make the Lorentz transformation in the directions of ADS4 and the seventh direction of the sphere. So I take the field bionic EA, which is dxm em plus dz e7a, and I take this guy as well, which is dz phi plus a, which is e7, and this is ea. And I should make the Lorentz transformation with parameters. So I should make the Lorentz transformation in this plane to with parameters which would eliminate these guys. So it's just a simple exercise to find how these. So I should knew how these new field bionics look like. So I act on the. On them by the Lorentz transformations, which depend only on the eight fermions, because this guy only has this dependence. So here I have E7 lambda 7a, and then there are new E's field bionics along the seventh direction, EB lambda B7 plus E7 7. Lambda 7, 7, and you see that it's always possible to find the lambdas which would kill E. So they should satisfy the following conditions: E7b times lambda ba plus phi lambda 7, 7 equals zero. So if lambda satisfy this condition, then in the rotated field bionics will not have this component. There will be zero, and I will be able to make the dimensional reduction directly. And upon this Lorentz rotation, I get the explicit form of all my field bionics in type 2A theory with ADS4 times CP3 to be the full supergeometry I was looking for. So this is basically the main result. And as you see from here, that this Lorentz transformation, it's a kind of twist which deforms the coset structure of this OSP64 manifold. So the complete superspace is not the coset superspace anymore. And that means that it's still to be proven that the type 2A superstring theory in this superspace is integrable classically. And so I think I'll stop here and thank you.
We didn't discuss the three form.
Well, the three form, yes, in 10 dimensions, it's in 11 dimensions. I take the using this 11 dimensional version of this geometry, I can write down the explicit form of for A3 or F4, if you wish. And then by the dimensional reduction rule from F4, I make from M4 in 11 dimensions, I get F4 in 10 and H3. And we have also done this. So there are explicit expressions for these guys as well, yes.
And then pH fixed the upper symmetry after the reduction?
Well, you can do it in one thing which we are doing now also with Antonia, considering various types of gauge fixing, which are different from the ones. One of the possible gauge fixings, which does not work everywhere, as I said, is just to put V to zero. And if we do this, then this superspace I have constructed reduces to this coset space. But there are probably more convenient gauge fixings which you can apply in the sectors of the theory where the sigma model does not work, because you cannot throw away 8 fermions.
Is it possible that Cauchy theory is not really integrable? I mean, do we know that it has to be?
Well, it's very difficult to prove that something is not integrable. But no, I don't know. Yes, but in our paper we gave some simpler example which might be tested as far as integrability is concerned. Basically, if we just consider the solutions of the theory where all thetas, 24 thetas, are zero, and if we don't, if we, and we consider the string motion only in ADS 4, then the model reduces effectively to 4 dimensions, and then the structure of this superspace is almost OSP 2,4 over SO 1,3. And that's it. No, times SO2. Yes. So this is the coset superspace, which has ADS4 as the bosonic subspace, and it has 8 fermions. These 8 fermions are these Vs. But the point is that what we obtain by just by putting to zero thetas and CP3 coordinates, it will not be this supercoset. It will be the twisted supercoset in some sense, which knows about the Lorentz transformation which I made. And since OSP24, I think, is an integrable model, then one can try to consider the generalization, whether this twisting still preserves integrability. And if it works, then there is a hope that also the whole superstring will be integrable.
Another coset which is less supersymmetric but very interesting, T11, SU2 cross SU2 cross U1, it comes up in the Klebanov-Strassler. It's ADS5 cross T11. It's the N equals 1 theory.
Yes.
That you get from Klebanov-Strassler. And as far as I know, it's not integrable.
Not.
Yeah, it's. Has anyone looked at this?
No.
I mean, it's what you. If integrability were going to be useful for N equals one gauge theory, say, then you'd hope that this space would be integrable. And I'm trying to remember what the obstruction is, but I know that Josef Bania looked at this, and it just. Mm-hmm. You know, the conditions were not satisfied to construct, even that sort of naively, even. Maybe not the bosonic level to construct. So there are, the examples that are integrable are pretty small. They're basically the most supersymmetric theory.
Yes, right.
And this. Is that right? I mean,
as far as I know, yes. Yes. That's. I think it's the first example of which we know explicitly of a theory which is not a supercoset, which is with less supersymmetries and which is not a supercoset space. And so in this sense, it's not clear whether, at least to me, I'm not a specialist on the integrability, how these things are
So one should answer the question whether there is integrability or not, because it's also important for the duality, this holographic relation with EDG models and the integrability from the gauge theory side, I think.
So it's going to have to be dual then, since John was talking about Clever-Strassler. So what's the dual of this that you're considering?
I think that in the paper by Aroni, Berman, and Maldacena, they consider the dual version of this theory. It's related to the intersecting brains in EDS 5 times S5 with the D3 and MS5, as far as I remember, and then they by T-duality they get the solution which corresponds to EDS 4 times CP3 or S7/K. So there is at least qualitatively there is some kind of T-duality relation which has been discussed. Yes.
For Frady and 5 plus S5, you can think of S5 as being a circle fiber bundle over CP2. And for example,
yes,
overfold on the fiber or key dual on the fiber. And presumably it's trivial in some sense on the world sheet level. So presumably you still are integrable, or so you have things that look more complicated, but they can still be integrable. Doesn't get you very far towards more complicated theory.
Are there other pairs? So the ADS 5 times S5, ADS 3 times S3, ADS 2 times S2. Are there other families of these also?
What do you mean, sorry, by the
Think about conform on rising.
Yeah.
Characterized on signal models. See, these are the ADS 3 times S2 and ADS 3 times S3, which are related to Green Schwartz and 4 dimensions, Green Schwartz and 6.
Well, in principle, you can write down the. There are a bunch of solutions of type 2A and type and 11-dimensional supergravity with ADS4, with different compact manifolds, which all, depending on how many supersymmetries they preserve, you have different coset manifolds.
Yeah, I would think instead of being always 11, you used to have one in 11, one in 7, one in 5. Instead of 4, 6, 10, you have 11.
Well, in principle, but I think that you can construct more examples.
You mean like it is 2 times CP1 times G2 instead of probably out, something like that?
Forget about G2 for the moment. Just pretend that instead of starting 11 dimensions, you start with 5 dimensions.
From which theory? I mean, you would like to consider a five-dimensional supergravity, right? Then, five-dimensional supergravity would, I don't know whether it would produce ADS 4 times S1 in a. Yeah. Well, maybe from six dimensions it's more natural, so you have ADS 4 times S2. Yeah, that can be done, yeah.
Can you see the 11 dimensional M2 brain on this?
Yes. Basically, this is this superspace which. Have been studied. People constructed actions 10 years ago. It was David Plevka and other people studied the M2 brain on this manifold. But the additional thing which we did bypassing is that we divided this by ZK, essentially. So you have the manifold which is appropriate for M2 brains corresponding to ADGM model.
Can you see that from the
Green Schwartz trivial? Yes. You just take the field binds in the same way, which I wrote there. Plug in into the M2 brain action, and you get it. Yes. And to get the level K, you should just divide by k here and multiply by k this one form on CP3. So it goes like this. And this describes you this super coset.